All right, Joel Radio, how you doing out there? Everyone in podcasting land?
I am so thankful to be here.
All right, we'll get to you in a second. How you doing? We have a special guest today. How you doing over there? Just talking to the audience, Harry.
Oh, I'm doing really good. I don't care so much about being on the show. It's just that I'm really glad to be out of the heat.
Yeah, it's very hot today, and Harry is sitting in. We don't have Corey with us today. We're going to try to get Corey on the phone here. I can't guarantee it.
I think Corey died in his sleep.
But, all right, we'll get to Corey in a second and everything else that's going on. Harry's here. Welcome to Joel Radio. I wasn't going to do a show this week.
It's because it's so hot.
Well, it is very hot in Michigan this week. It's about 97 degrees outside.
And it's Kitty's anniversary of her cathartic death from electrocution, from last year. It's been a year now.
My cat ran away about last August. So not exactly a year.
You're changing your story.
No, no,
you electrocuted
August.
Your cat last
that's
year.
That's not what happened to
you
the cat.
You plugged her into some sort of outlet.
The cat walked off somewhere in the middle of the night and never came back. She was
Was
very
it
old.
Something you said?
No, it was all right.
All right.
This is Harry. What is your name, by
I
the way?
I don't know. I really
What do you want to go
Let's
by?
Just go by Harry.
You want to go with Harry?
Yeah.
Harry, the guy that's been on the show before.
Harry from Southfield.
Harry from Southfield.
There you go.
That's it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you know, Harry is as rap parody songs and other
and rap originals.
And you've been on Howard Stern, you've been on all these shows,
Man Cow.
You're doing stuff, and you're trying to be in radio and
no, I'm not trying
live
to
live events.
I only
rap
do one
promotion.
Thing.
What is your main gig now?
I'm just a
describe yourself.
I'm just a comic. That's all.
You have described yourself in the past as an independent radio producer. Is that no longer true?
I am currently not an independent radio producer. I'm now an independent. Reality producer.
Okay, so reality is the new gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have something. We're not even going to talk about that, but
we
I know
won't.
You do have a gig
coming up.
It's potentially
it
could be a big thing.
It got pitched this Monday in Hollywood, and we have a new sizzle reel for it.
Oh.
And I'm really excited. You were helping me work on the project.
I did work on the project.
So I'm just crossing my fingers. They think it's going to get sold, and so I'm just really crossing my fingers.
I did enough work, I think, to earn no money on this. That's what I think is going to happen.
No, no. I mean, it's possible. Maybe I could get everybody a job.
I could. You know what? And I'll take that job. So yeah. I would take a job.
We all need a job.
But Harry,
Michigan.
That's your new thing. That's your hinging. You've hitched your wagon to reality television. And who can blame you? Because right now, if you've got a swap meet or you're auctioning something or you dig a ditch for a living, apparently you have a show that people are fascinated with. That's
essentially,
the idea.
I did reality programming for 15 years working for Howard Stern and Man Cow, but indirectly through guests. But it was a form of reality
I guess,
content. So
it was basically you would take and instead of where nowadays you would have someone sitting in front of the camera addressing them, telling them a bunch of bullshit, you had people telling a bunch of bullshit on the radio. That would be the equivalent.
I mean, yeah, more or less. I mean, not all reality is bullshit. I'd say like 80% of it is, but 20.
But there is
some reality.
There is
some
an embellishment.
Component
there
to
is
reality.
There is an embellishment and an exaggeration.
Yeah. By the way,
for comedic effect.
Don't use my real last name in this.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I really.
Don't. I don't know what. I don't know who you are. Sometimes
I really don't know who I am either. This morning I woke up and I was like, "Who am I?"
You're like George Barris.
Yeah, I kind of am.
You know, George Barris?
Without the gong and without the hair.
Without the success, more like.
And the success. And where is the unknown comic when I need him?
But you know what, George Barris? You know, I'm sure he wasn't successful his first time out.
No,
and,
I haven't. I've prided myself in not being successful for the last 25 years.
Right, you're consistently unsuccessful.
I've mastered the lack of success.
Your work has been steady.
I have been on successfully underneath the radar, working for people that make millions of dollars a year. I plotted away and made hundreds of thousands. Well, I didn't make hundreds of thousands.
And when, you know,
I made thousands.
The government spends millions of dollars on technology to not be picked up by radar. And you've mastered that.
Yeah. I'm basically I'm a nobody. I just dropped a video on YouTube today and it has 30 views.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to save that because I want people to listen. I'm not a big fan of that. But you just showed me two new projects. One of which I thought was funny, and one of them I thought was horrible.
And you're a very critical person.
So, yeah, we'll get to
Well, you're judging a parody that you didn't even know the original.
I don't know
you
the
don't
original,
even know
but that's part of why it's no good.
What the song
is. We'll get to that later. Right. Let's talk about some other things, because, first of all, Corey is not here, and I'm going to try to get Corey on the phone.
God rest his soul.
Maybe I should just do that now so I don't have to tease it.
All right.
But this is what I want to say, and I'll say this before he gets on the phone, because he might fight me on this or whatever.
He's my frenemy, I guess.
Corey... The reason Corey's not here is a long story that we will clear up on the next show. Let's just say that.
AIDS?
No. Well, your first guess is wrong. How is that fair to say?
Does it have something to do with a Coney Island?
It has nothing to do with anything. He ended up doing something that he didn't think he was going to have to do, which means he can't be here, and there's some other things that involved me that he's missing. And it's a
he
big,
didn't do real
it's
style,
a big pain
he?
In It's a big pain in the ass what he's doing, and... I'm kind of mad at him about it, but we'll get to that later.
I'm mad at him, too.
Okay, but not for anything having to do with me or the show.
No.
Okay, so it's not important.
Did you get that real style gig offer?
There's no gig. No, I did, but let's move on. Okay. No one knows what we're talking about. Okay. Then I also want to say, but the reason Corey would be talking to us today is that Corey saw Spider-Man, which comes out this week coming up here, and he wants to talk about it. So I'm trying to get
him. And I would really like to see it for free.
Well, I don't know if we can make that happen, but why don't I call Corey right now, and we'll see if he's there. And if he picks up, he can review Spider-Man. And please, I just because, you know, this is valuable time, don't ruin it. We're going to have him review Spider-Man, and we'll let him go. We'll get into all the other things some other day, okay?
All right,
here comes Corey. Let's see if we can get him. Dialing now. This call volume would be low. Trying to make the levels good for the people at home. Do you hear me? But he's traveling today, so he may be in a car somewhere. And if that's the case, then he's not... there's a good chance...
Hi, everybody. You reached Corey's phone.
Oh, Jesus.
I will get back to you if you leave your name and number. Thank you.
All right. Well, let me just leave this for him.
At the tone, please record your message.
Yeah.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1.
I apologize that he's not here, but I'll leave a message for him, and hopefully he'll get back. Hey, yo, so I'm doing the show right now. It's 6:45 Detroit time, and I got Harry sitting here, and we want a review of Spider-Man. That's really all we're trying to do is get a review of Spider-Man. So if you can give us that, an exclusive here on Joel Radio, in the next 90 minutes or so, we would appreciate that, Corey. So please call me back, and let's get that going, all right?
Hey, Corey, can you get me free tickets?
No, I don't think you can. All right, call me Corey. All right, there's Corey. All right, so Corey's not around, so we can't review Spider-Man. But if he calls back in, we'll get the review.
But
we'll give it to next time. What do you want to say?
No, nothing.
Go ahead, say what you want.
I just wanted to review Spider-Man, even though I didn't even
see
it. Okay,
but that's not fair. That doesn't mean anything. For having
but I'm just
going to
say it was a really good film.
But you don't know.
And no, and what I really appreciated about it is that Raimi was really less like CGI now. It was more like realistic. And there was a certain grittiness to it that I liked. And I really appreciated the fact that they changed actors. And
David,
I thought it was,
first of all, Raimi
and overall, there was like a
this.
Danger. There
and
was a danger to it.
You don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on. Maybe we'll talk about your stuff. Why don't we? I don't even know what to talk about with you. You got a million things to talk about.
I got a million things going on.
And I dread all of them.
Why?
I don't know. But Harry, so let's see what else is going on with you tonight. First of all, did you get that bike fixed? We were going to go on a bike ride today.
Yeah, we were, but I was stuck in Shelby Township.
All right, well, when you get your bike fixed, we'll go on a bike ride. Does that sound like fun?
Sounds like good.
All right, we'll go bike ride.
Well, it doesn't sound like fun, I mean.
Well, we'll go on a bike ride. It'll be an adventure.
Sounds a little gay, but...
Well, I mean...
Can you imagine me and
we're
you
not gonna
like,
be on one
riding
bike.
A bike somewhere? Like, and it sounds like something
not,
out of
no.
Fucking,
it's
like,
not gonna be gay or anything. It's just gonna be you and
it's
I.
Like, hey, you want to go bike riding?
Ah, the fuck. We're just gonna be on a bike. That's all.
But where are we gonna go?
I don't know. Wherever you want. Wherever you want to go.
I want to ride down to Cedar Point.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll be there in 3 weeks.
Because you know why?
Why is that?
I have an affinity for Sandusky, Ohio.
Okay.
It's my new destination.
About...
Let's talk about Jerry Sandusky.
Okay, please.
First of all, I defend him 100%.
Hold on to your hats, folks.
I defend him 100%. And, okay, number one, A, will he be purposely dropping the soap now in prison? And then B, I feel that he had the right, as long as there was some love conveyed, he had the right to do what he did.
First of all, if I'm even going to approach this in any sort of manner in any sort of a serious manner with you.
Right.
I would think that, first of all, Jerry Sandusky probably pitched rather than caught. I think that's number one. So I don't think he's dropping the soap.
Okay.
Unless you expect someone else to pick it up. And two...
Well, maybe he's going to knock a lot of people's soaps out of their hands, is what I'm thinking. I mean, he's a handsome man. I mean, these young boys, they should have appreciated the privilege they had to be with some sort of, like, aging, budding football star.
He's clearly mentally ill.
Are you trying to say that the gay agenda in America is mentally ill?
He is clearly wrong. It's not about being gay. He could have 50 boyfriends for all anybody cares. No one's gonna throw him in jail for that.
He just likes kids. He probably got them a lot of lollipops and chicken and fish and pizza. Dude, they never talk about what the kids got out of them.
He set up a charity, okay, to help kids, and then fucked them in the ass during it. I mean, what the hell?
Well, that's very charitable. I mean,
I think the kids blew him, actually. I don't even know. The whole thing sickens me. I'll be honest with you. I didn't follow the trial as much as other people did. But he was tried on, like, these 45, I think it was even 50-some counts.
He was just giving them.
He's found guilty on 45 of them, and the guy's going to go to jail for the rest of his life, and deservedly so.
I think.
So he can't hurt another kid again. And you know what? I don't even feel like he – I don't even care what happens to him in prison. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even a guy that's like...
I think it's sad.
It is sad.
I think they should give him 24 hours of, like, television and video games. And they should have 11-year-old boy in there with him just to, like, for some form of entertainment so he can pass along the time.
All right, listen. You're an idiot. Listen. My feeling is that it's even... No matter what they do to Jerry... If Jerry Sandusky gets fucked in the ass by 10 black guys, they still... Nothing makes up for the damage that was done to those kids. Therefore,
why does it have to be all of a sudden? Why are you pulling the race card? Why does it have to be black? Why wasn't it Chinese guys?
You're right. Whatever happens.
Why? Because Chinese people aren't in prison and only black people are? oh, Jerry, you're so hot. Oh, you're so sweet and sour.
But I think Jerry, there's nothing that can happen to him. He will probably die in prison in all likelihood.
Jerry is a handsome man.
And that makes sense.
And they need to make a statue.
But it's still not the same. It's still not the same. And don't defend him. Don't be an idiot. Okay.
Sorry, I'm still high off my Hungry Howie's pizza.
I bought him Hungry Howie's pizza
before
the show.
I appreciate that.
Might have been a mistake.
He had to lure me any way he could.
I don't know what you would have eaten. What would you have eaten for dinner?
I would have eaten Jerry Sandusky's cock.
I apologize for this show, you know?
I do, too.
I mean, I said let's do a show because, you know, if I didn't do a show, I think I was trying to get to this beginning. If I don't do a show this week, that means I'd have to do it next week, which is 4th of July week.
Lisa, we're getting it over
with. Which means no one's going to hear it, and then I feel like I need to do this show.
But this
and
show
then
is going to get ratings.
And we're going to plug your rap videos that no one cares about. And there's things that I want to talk about I can't even talk about because you won't take them serious.
No. Talk about them. I'll be serious from here on. Then it won't be fun. All right. I'll just be totally serious.
You're funny. I want you to be funny.
All right, but I'll be totally serious.
But you're going to talk about raping and...
No, listen. I'm an evil person. And I wanted to make that confession before we start the show. You ever...
Ever what?
Be in your bed late at night and suddenly get this eerie feeling there's somebody standing outside your window?
Yeah.
Well, that was me, and I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you know, a lot of comedians, they get fan mail, you know, mail sent to them. I, on the other hand, write my fans mail. Dear fan, I saw you at my show last week, and I just want to say I really liked the way you laughed. I followed you home, and I have a knife, and I'm waiting in the bushes, and I'm currently masturbating about you. I hope you don't mind. and then I think I'm being stalked.
Why is
like
that?
In all seriousness, well, I was just in Ann Arbor. I was at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. I was walking around Liberty Street, and I saw this squirrel. And just today, I'm coming up here on Woodward, and I saw that same squirrel.
That same squirrel.
I'd know that face anywhere.
Good. All right. There's material.
But I'm bum bum.
Harry's comedy.
That's right. But by the way, I really appreciate being here.
You're welcome.
No, I really do. I appreciate. No, because like. You could have called anyone. You could have called Mike Green. You could have called Jerry Sandusky. You could have called.
I think he was unavailable.
Corey Hall's brother.
You could have
called Marshall Mathers' brother, Nathan Mathers.
But
you called me, and I appreciate it.
I
want to take this time to extend my warmest penis towards you. So, just
Harry doing material.
By the way, did I tell you about the 450-pound woman I met on Woodward?
No.
Last week, I asked her what her sign was. She was in Ferndale. She said, "Sign of the Beef Carver."
Okay, well, this is dynamite. It's too bad we don't have the studio audience today. We're roaring.
Sorry.
Your regular
well, like
Jay
these
Leno
comedians, you know, they're putting together these dumb videos like Dig Johnson and Jeff Sheen. They're putting these hilarious videos where, like, they do it stand up in their room, and I think it's pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of comedy,
it's a lot funnier than actual shows.
Harry is running one comedy room here in the Metro Detroit area. And do you want to tell everybody about that? Your regular gig, and we'll give that some promotion, and we'll go
from
there.
Since Joel didn't want this gig, I took it, and we wanted to keep up the memory of Bart's about a year ago.
Well, Club Bart closed about a year ago. That was the open mic that I hosted for about 10 years.
10 years.
We did many live Joel radio events from there, which you can find in our archives. Actually, they were Corey and Joel radio events. We did anniversary shows, and I think another live event with stand-up and stuff.
Joel is the best consistently good MC that I know. Like, seriously.
Thank you.
Like, but yeah, no, you are very consistent.
But the show, the club was sold, mm-hmm. and the new owner redid the whole place.
Some bizarre bistro.
I don't even know what the new place is like. I haven't been in there.
Looks like, like a haven for terrorists.
The idea was to sort of start a new open mic comedy show at this other place, O'Mara's in Berkeley, and it turns out that I opened another open mic that only lasted a few months, and then Harry sort of opened this thing. And that's been going for over a year now, so you must be very proud. You had the one-year anniversary show last
week. I'm reasonably proud. I mean, I couldn't have done it without Todd Starks badgering me continuously about this and that. You don't even know the half of it.
I don't know the half of it, but I know Todd.
But O'Mara's, like, Bart's was like something that was running when you took it over, whereas O'Mara's is like literally I have to restart the show every week. Like, I have to literally... I have to
starting from scratch
on life support.
Yeah, so I know what you mean.
So, like, literally, we have these competitions just to get people to come. And tonight, we have the biggest, according to Facebook.
No,
we have 100 people coming, and then 50 maybe. So, which translates to about 60, 70 people that may show.
That will actually show.
Yeah,
based upon the Facebook.
I always say
invite.
They say they're coming. I say 50%.
Sure.
Okay, but and then it's a $5 admission. I guess people just like to pay.
No, well,
but
that's
it's, but it's going towards Angel Buskey, who just passed away, which is ridiculous. Like probably like 3 weeks ago, and she was a secret judge in our competition last year. And you know, I didn't know Angel that well, but my heart goes out to her. And we're gonna raise money for Lupus, and a couple dollars of every ticket's going directly to Lupus Foundation of America. So. I think we're going to raise a ton of money for Lupus. We're going to get a ton of money for the comedians who win. And we're probably going to score Laugh Factory Chicago as the prize, one of the prizes for the comedians.
So someone can go perform there if they win.
Right.
They get the privilege of going to the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, and get an all-expense-paid trip there.
Oh, well, that's good. I was going to say, they get to go to Laugh Factory and do comedy for free. That's the end.
You get a showcase at the Laugh Factory. You have to get there yourself.
You get to take the bus to Chicago. And go to the Laugh
Factory. A quick 5-minute showcase.
But, you know, this show, now, the one thing that Harry does, I would never turn an open mic into a comedy contest. I don't believe in those. Okay. I think that it's bad for
comedy.
They
are evil.
I think it's bad. I think it hurts more comedians than it helps. I mean, yeah, you're going to give one guy a shot at going to the Laugh Factory in Chicago, but then other people have to lose.
Yeah, but we have to figure
out. You know, 50 guys lose and one guy wins, and it seems like that sort of defeatist.
But right now, it's
because
one
comedy needs more good people.
I can't agree more.
You know what I mean?
A comedy contest ruined my comedy career in 1990.
Oh.
Because I took it so seriously when I bombed at it. But I was a semifinalist in it,
yeah.
And I literally stopped comedy for 10 years.
That's what happens.
Yeah. No, but I would agree, but like we're just trying to figure out a way to make the show viable.
I understand. You're trying to get butts in the seats.
And we didn't have like a Bart's-like atmosphere where people were walking by on the street.
Yeah, I know.
O'Mara's is a very challenging place to do it.
It's sort of off the beaten path
It's basically in a retirement center. O'Mara's, and
it's sort of an older skewing restaurant.
No,
yes.
None of the customers from O'Mara's come to our show.
So really, you have to draw a whole new audience. You can't even draw from the audience.
All of our show is basically consisting of comedians and friends of comedians.
Yeah, so it's challenging.
And I do have some schemes around town where it's actually working. But another thing that's actually working is something that I just launched called Comedy Karaoke, which I know your girlfriend Heather's not a fan of.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into this. We'll talk about this.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Tell people what the premise is.
Comedy Karaoke is a comedian or non-comedian, just an audience member, going up and just like karaoke, telling another comedian's joke. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm encouraging that they take the joke. I'm just like, you go on karaoke, you sing another person's song. So you go up and tell another person's joke, and whoever tells the joke the best gets a prize.
Now, whose joke are we supposed to be telling?
Anybody's joke, any comedian.
Like, but you can tell like Jay Leno's jokes, or you can tell a joke from.
You can tell another. Because
they had this in bars years ago.
Right.
It was called Karaoke, and it never went anywhere.
Right. They also
machines and the whole thing to
right.
do it.
And they also had Jokeyoke.
Okay.
Right. But mine's just comedy karaoke. It's much simpler.
But I also feel like what happens with a situation like that is that you're going to have some open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one person, say, could be me, but not even me, but any comic that may go in and say, have a good set or something. And then you're going to have people who are, you know, have no establishment in comedy whatsoever.
Right.
Newcomers. And they're going to go up and kind of butcher my jokes.
But that's okay.
No, but it's not okay to me.
Well, you should get over it.
Who is it okay to?
You should get over it because, number one, it's a privilege that they would even remember your joke and tell it. And then, secondly, the problem with stand-up comedy, I feel, is that there's little audience participation. And I think that audiences secretly in this day and age of YouTube and this day and age of mediocrity where everybody's now getting their 15 minutes of fame, I think everybody wants to be on stage secretly. So this is giving them an opportunity.
But my feeling is that if the show is compelling, that is enough reaction or interaction with the crowd. A comedian tells jokes, the audience laughs. Those are the established roles at a comedy show.
But compelling.
And your job as a host is to make the show compelling. Keep the sights tight.
The problem
the set's tight.
The problem is
Okay, listen to me. You can make a comedy show compelling. I know you don't have a lot of talent to work with.
I don't have budget.
You don't have a budget, but that's fine.
Right.
I did club art for 10 years with no budget.
But Club Art wasn't always compelling.
It wasn't always, but it was compelling even when it was bad. And I'm not saying it's going to be great, but it can still be compelling even if it's not
good. I agree. And some things that I've done is banning people like CC Dynamite and Studley. And then secondly, I'm limiting people to 5 minutes. And that's
you're making attempts, but I also feel like there is a.
I have a
when
long
you
way
do
to go.
Something like comedy karaoke, I don't feel like that's a step in the right direction. I feel like that's a stupid
idea.
It's
just another gimmick.
I know, but I mean.
Right. Like tomorrow we have 15 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts coming in because they're donating them for our police comedy show. I believe in gimmicks.
All right. But do gimmicks really help anything in the long run? That people are going to go and say, I had such a great time at the show. You should
I 100%.
Next week, you should come to O'Mara's.
I 100% agree with
this
you.
This guy, Harry, hosts the show. He's hilarious.
About stressing.
That's what people want to say afterwards.
I believe what you're saying in creating a quality show with quality comedians and a quality experience.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt to have gimmicks, too.
I know, but I mean, I'm saying you take what you have and you try to make an omelet of all the shit that's there, everything that's left over.
Right. I mean, the comedy karaoke we did last week, it was like literally.
How did it go?
You know what? A non-comedian went up there. He just told a joke. He enjoyed himself. It was like literally 3 minutes of the show. It's like 5 minutes of the show.
I've seen more guys get up and they do like a joke off and they tell like.
It's not that
they
bad.
Tell like a street joke or they tell, you know.
It's just something we do at the end of the night, you know, in case people are still alive. At 12 midnight, you know. Well, and then like it's not like the main feature. It's like an aperitif.
I feel like what you're doing is you're telling comedians that it's fine to steal everybody else's jokes. And it's fine to go up and, you know, insult other comedians, basically, that you're turning it into a bit of a roast. And I don't feel like that's a good I think roasts are terrible. I think they're great
Wait
when they're
a
on
second.
TV
You've
and you're
been
sitting
involved
on your couch.
In roasts.
I have. But you know what? People don't take a roast the way that it's supposed to be taken.
Well, if
people get very upset.
If it makes you feel better.
People on the dais get upset. People in the crowd get upset. Everyone gets upset. No one feels good about it. No one has a sense of humor like
these comedians weren't doing it as a roast, though.
But it will turn into that. It will be a guy that goes up and does somebody's joke, and the guy that's on the receiving end of it isn't going to be happy about it. Then he's going to get up and do something that
guy. You know what I'm
going to
do then?
It's going to turn into that.
I think what I'll do is I'm not married to the concept, number one. And number two, however, I like the name. And then number three, what I might do is have only non-comedians go up and do it.
Let me give you a better idea.
No. Did you hear what I said?
I heard that, and that's not a bad move.
I think I might do
that. I can help you with this. Let me tell you. This is what you do.
JoelRadio.net. We just modified it to non-comedians.
This is what you do.
That's better.
This is what you do.
That's better.
Maybe you have a joke book, or you somehow use Xerox jokes from the internet, and you sort of maybe somebody comes up and they can pick out their favorite joke, and they can do it that way. That
sure.
way you don't
just
have
in case if they don't have a joke.
If they don't have a joke, they can pick one out of
okay,
it. You know, you can
good,
go
okay.
get a $5
deal.
Joke book
deal.
Right, at Barnes and Noble, and you can do it that way.
Let's
I
move
feel
on
like
to the next
sort
subject.
Of, what
I,
is,
I think you're right. I think I've modified all the joke book. I'll open only to non-comedians.
All right.
I agree with you.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Let's talk about Spider-Man.
I'm going to talk about your comedy show. Well, I'm waiting for Corey to call in.
Okay, police comedy show tomorrow.
Okay, but it's tonight probably by the time people are hearing this, and maybe they're going to miss it. So what is the actual date? What is the date?
It's
Friday.
It's Friday, June 29th.
Okay, so if people may, if you're hearing it
so
after that,
tonight,
you missed
folks.
It, but yeah.
Friday, June 29th yeah. at 8:30 p.m. We have starring Dave McDonald, who's a policeman turned comedian.
I know Dave.
Kerem Sheik, who's a policeman turned comedian.
He is, yes.
And Brian McCree from Flint, who's not a policeman, but he is a comedian from Flint, and he's been seen on MTV.
And he's been arrested many times. That's
and he's been
joke.
Arrested many times for being black. So, like, I mean, it's going to be a great show. It's a fundraiser for the
sure.
Thin Blue Line of Michigan, an organization designed to help fallen officers' families.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful
And idea. It's $15 in advance, $18 at the door. You got to call 586-634-7634 and talk to Lori to get tickets through the Thin Blue Line.
Okay.
And we're going to have free Krispy Kreme donuts there, 15 dozen. We're featuring our pan-seared scallops at O'Mara's. And O'Mara's okay. is at 2555 West 12 Mile Road,
All right.
Berkeley. Yes, I am a marketing
Yeah,
team.
Look at you.
I
right
just did
the...
Fox 2 News
oh,
on Monday.
I'd love to see that.
It's on the it's
oh,
on
well,
the internet
we,
right now. We should
watch
that.
That? Yeah. yeah. Okay, well, we'll watch that.
It.
But listen, so the open mic, by the way, for everyone listening, is Thursday nights. Harry is your host. Go see comedy karaoke. And
that's not our main thing.
Whatever they do. I don't know.
But we have an ongoing contest for the next 7-8 weeks
contest.
Through September. Every Thursday, we have a contest. The Angel Booski Egg Roll Invitational Comedy Competition and Lupus Fundraiser, basically orchestrated by myself and Tony Klee. And right. it's going to be running for 7-8 weeks. So talk to Tony Klee on Facebook if you want to enter this competition. The prize is probably going to be $2,000. And last year we had Darius Bennett as the winner. He won $400. But this one's going to be a double the length of contest. And we already have 150 people coming
all
for
right.
our first show.
All right. So that's great. Okay. Thank you, Harry, for the plug. That's great. Now, what are you doing now?
I was going to send you the link
and
to
okay.
Fox 2.
Oh, yeah. Send me the link to Fox 2. That's fine. I'll try to watch that. And you plugged the police show on. Fox
yeah, that's yes, that's what I was
That's
doing.
Our local, what was it, the morning show you
Fox
were on?
Fox 2 Detroit with Jason Carr and something that Todd had tried to hook up before.
All right.
And I did it, and then we had our chef, Lee Reich, prepare a pan-seared scallop and pecan chicken.
Okay. All right, wow, this guy's a plug machine.
I think you have to Google...
should I do it now? Why don't
do
I just
now.
Do it
yeah.
now?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a kick out of this.
I was going to say people have heard enough of me.
I think they've heard enough of me. And I'll talk while you're Googling.
Googling.
Google, YouTube, Google, YouTube, Google, Jews, YouTube, Google, 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 G2 phones. Joel has
Wait,
a G2 phone. Just type in Fox 2 Detroit O'Mara's and it will come up. I'm trying to convince O'Mara's to pay $80 so they can own the rights to the digital and or DVD of the clip.
Oh, Fox. Why does it cost $80?
Because there's a lady that records it all, and they will not give it to us.
Like, you want a DVD, and they said it's $80?
No, it's a lady that goes around and tapes local news, and so she charges a service.
Oh.
Get it? So I don't know if that's the actual clip. It's not. So you're going to have to you got to scroll down and go through the events down there, yeah.
Jason Carr and his burnt lawn. I'll find it
yeah,
here.
It's going to be like page 3 or 4.
Dennis Leary and his thing and the thing. Will Downing. I'm going to read this whole fucking thing.
Keep going. 4.
Yeah. Okay, comedy show for fallen officers.
There you go. Click on that.
All right, I'll click on this.
You're going to love it.
Now, I'm playing this through the microphone.
Yeah.
With Chef Lee Reich from O'Mara's Irish Pub.
We got to listen to the chef.
In Berkeley and Harry Barbarian. Did
yes,
I say your name?
Harry, yes,
you.
Harry Archie
oh, great.
Barbarian.
I just blew my cover.
All right. You are a producer and comedian.
Yes, I am.
Bastard.
All right. And you're going to tell us about a show, but after we get going here with the
that
food.
Sounds
is that okay?
Good to me, yeah. Right.
Chef Lee, what's up, buddy?
Not much. We're going to do some pan-seared scallops today with a very nice pan.
Can I skip okay. over the guy cooking
salad,
scallops?
Yeah. No. Lee Reich was in prison for a long time. That's why this
nice.
Piece is that much more interesting.
It goes really good with these scallops here. Now, you have to do those really high temperature, right?
Correct. You got to get the pan real hot and then get your
Hey, people are learning how to make scallops.
So we're gonna get this is great. I had no idea the show was going to be this informative.
So you get a good flavor for the scallops.
Nice. Scallops are delicious. And, he was clapping because he uses butter to cook the scallops. It's better than olive oil.
They're bay scallops. They're really, you know, how long? Get them dry packed so there's no chemicals involved or anything like that. And this is on the menu? We're going to run on special for the comedy thing that we're doing.
And when is that?
Friday?
Friday, June 29th.
Harry, tell us about the big show.
Yeah, we have a huge police comedy show fundraiser, believe it or not, for the Thin Blue Line of Michigan. And it's an organization designed to help fallen officers' families. We've had five officers killed in the line of duty last year, and it's going to be we're going to be featuring two policemen, retired policemen that are comedians, and a comedian from Mad TV, and it's going to be a huge fundraising event this Friday. And we also happen to have another fundraising event for the Lupus Organization for Angel Booski on Thursday, June 28th. So Thursday and Friday.
Consecutive nights.
Consecutive nights.
If you like comedy and good food, O'Mara's is the place to be this Thursday and Friday.
Absolutely.
All right, and the name of the show is You Have the Right to Laugh Your Off.
That's right. That's right.
That's a great name for the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's this Friday, June 29th, 8:30 p.m., and maybe we'll get out the number or whatever.
And one or more of the comedians is a former cop himself?
Yeah, Dave McDonald, former policeman, and Kurram Sheikh.
You're looking right at the camera.
Brian McCree is going to be on the show.
You're like an infomercial salesman.
We just got a
more or less
Krispy Kreme donuts. They're going to donate 144 donuts as well.
Oh, cha-ching, Krispy Kreme coming through.
There you go. You got to come.
So the former policeman, Dave McDonald, is he going to show up with the mustache and the sunglasses? And
you never know. You never know. He's a really funny guy, though. He helped me put this thing together. So
The scallops have been browned. And we're going to put...
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How come you go on that show?
Right.
And there's no rap videos promoted. There's none.
No, because I'm totally
focused. You come in there and
you're focused.
But when you come in here, you're kind of crazy and all kind of...
Hold on.
Wait a minute. No. Come on. Really, dude, I'm interviewing you and you're taking a phone call? Oh, fucking A. Oh, my Lord.
What are you going to take? Hello?
See, now everybody's going to take a phone call.
Yes. Is this Jonathan?
I'm gonna turn your mic down. I'll turn your mic down. You go wherever you want to go. This guy, the thing with Harry is this. He comes on this channel too, and you never seen a more normal guy. I mean, he's a little crazy looking, but it's not, you know. You can see it in his eyes if you know him. Yeah, go. You can walk out of the studio. Now he's going to leave. Watch, your headphones are on. You got to take the headphones off.
I'm just doing a radio show right now. Give me one second. Here's the thing. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know how much of that you heard, but he's trying to talk to a guy. He's got an iPod Touch running Google Voice, and he's got like an earpiece that he's trying to take a phone call on while he's wearing the headphones from Joel Radio and getting up out of the chair. And then it's just too much. I think I got to apologize again for Harry. I mean, he is plugging stuff, and I feel good that I'm helping him promote that and raising some money and all this stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it's not that entertaining. Maybe Corey will call. Save us all. All right, anyway, let's just talk about some other movies that are out, because I wanted to get a Spider-Man review in, and I don't know if we're going to get a Spider-Man review in if Corey doesn't call. But the other big movie opening this week, at least in my opinion, I'm trying to think exactly what is opening. This weekend, it is Ted with Mark Wahlberg. And this is, of course, from Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy. And it's about a teddy bear come to life. And he ends up living with his owner, played by Mark Wahlberg, until they're adults. And, of course, the bear, being from the mind of Seth MacFarlane, the bear is foul-mouthed and smokes marijuana. And bangs hookers. And actually, I have to say, I saw Ted the other night, and it was great. I really am not a Seth MacFarlane fan. I am not a Family Guy fan. I'm not a Mark Wahlberg fan, and yet I found the movie very good. I found it enjoyable, very funny, and the CGI of Ted the Bear is amazing. I want to call it maybe the best CGI I've ever seen on something. And, of course, you know, it's a teddy bear. You think that's easier to do than, say, like a... you know, a Transformers robot or something. But there's something about the interaction where he's hugging people, and you know, there's a lot of physical things. There's a fight between Mark Wahlberg and Ted at one point, and the physical interaction between the two is very believable. And I'm not sure if there was some you know, replacement of, you know, the face, if it was a real teddy bear at times, or parts of him were real and parts of him were CGI. I could not tell. But that's how, and I'll tell you, if the CGI didn't work and you couldn't believe that the bear was real, the movie wouldn't have worked. But the CGI is so good, you really believe that the bear is there. You forget about it after a minute. They did a real nice job with this. And Seth MacFarlane, who apparently, according to my girlfriend who was with me, says that it was pretty much just doing the Peter Griffin voice, which, again, not being a Family Guy fan, I didn't really have that in the back of my head like she did, because she found it a little distracting that it was so similar. And I didn't have that problem at all. I thought the voice was funny. I mean, it's a very Bostonian accent, and he's, you know, foul-mouthed and gets in trouble, gets Mark Wahlberg in trouble at his job, gets him in trouble with his girlfriend. It's basically about a boy who doesn't want to grow up being Wahlberg and doesn't want to give up his best friend, the teddy bear. And, of course, this teddy bear is just crazy, so... it's real funny. I would give it on the Corey and Joel five-finger scale. I think I'm going 4 out of 5 fingers. The reason I'm not going 5, I guess, is probably because some of the jokes may seem dated in a little bit. There's a lot of topical humor in it and references to things, which I don't know that everyone's going to get in, say, 5 or 10 years, which would make this movie a classic. But, boy, there's some funny stuff in it, and certainly if you see it now... you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. I mean, if you like comedies, I think this is the best comedy that's out there now for my money. Ted. Seth MacFarlane directed it. I believe he wrote it. He performs as Ted, and it's real good. I wish I could dump on it. I'd love to come in and tell you it sucked, as we often do on Joel Radio, and tell you that the latest multi-million-dollar motion picture is a piece of garbage. But I can't say that about Ted. This was real funny, and some real funny cameos, too. I don't want to ruin it. I would ruin it for you. I'd love to talk about... I know we did a Prometheus spoiler cast last time we were on the show, but not this time. I'm not going to ruin anything for you or even give you the opportunity to be spoiled. So go watch Ted this weekend, this 4th of July weekend. Actually, I think both weekends are considered 4th of July weekend because this is sort of the end of June. And the next weekend's 4th of July is in the middle of the week. So I don't even know what people get off for work. My girlfriend's getting like one day off, the 4th. That's it. It's like, hey, F you. If 4th of July was a Thursday, you'd probably get the Friday, but it's a Wednesday, so they're just going, eh, you don't get anything. Go to hell. So that's probably, I think that's the one to see. Of course, Prometheus, if you haven't seen that, I think is great. We recommended a little indie film called Safety Not Guaranteed last time on the show. And I believe we talked about Waiting for a Friend at the End of the World with Steve Carell last time we were on the show. Although that didn't, that was good, but it didn't work all the way through. I'm not, I hate when reviewers say this, but I'm going to say that's a rental. I think you can wait and rent that movie. But Ted is one to see in the theater. We saw it in a full house, and people were rolling, and it was great. So anyway. Harry is still not back from his phone call. He's still... Oh, and now that the Fox 2 thing is not letting... It has stopped. I was paused on Harry's thing, and now it's not there anymore. All right. I don't know what else to get to. Maybe we should... what should we do next? Trying to interview Harry, and he's not here. He's out taking a phone call. Yeah, but go see Ted... and what else can I recommend if you're seeing stuff? I think I've talked about everything that's out on home video. There's some TV stuff. You know, America's Got Talent is back, and that's a good one. If you like to sit around and bullshit, and you watch that with people. I think America's Got Talent is one of those shows that's not as much fun to watch by yourself. But if you're watching it with your friends or your girlfriend or your wife or husband or whatever you got, I think it's a lot of fun because you can critique the show. And I guess that's the appeal of... you know, American Idol or any of these things. So you think you can dance, X Factor, you name it. But Because America's Got Talent, we're going to get into deeper with Corey when he's back, because we know a guy that was on there. And he got bounced. So we'll talk about that. But the big thing on that show is that Howard Stern is on this year as a judge, and Howard very reluctant to really do anything aside from his television, from his radio show, which is also on television, on pay-per-view, Howard TV. But Howard really doesn't do a lot of TV or other media, and they coaxed him out to do America's Got Talent. He took over for Piers Morgan, who left to do a CNN talk show, which apparently nobody watches. And Pierce I liked on the show, because Pierce was very opinionated. He didn't seem to be charmed by little kids. He was very tough. And by getting Howard, they thought, God, they got a guy that's every bit as tough, the guy who is going to be every bit as cold and unemotional as Pierce is. And that was sort of the big fear that he would be offensive, that he would be rude to the people auditioning. And really none of that has turned out to be true. Howard has been great on the show. And as a fan of Howard, somebody who's listened to him for years, I don't currently listen to Howard. I don't subscribe to SiriusXM, although there are ways of getting the show. And I've heard his show. I hear it not on a regular basis, but I would say I hear Howard Stern a dozen times a year, maybe two dozen times a year, depending. If I'm with somebody that has XM, you can also, like I said, there's ways of getting the show, downloading it, whatever. But as a guy who listened to Howard on terrestrial radio from 1997 until he left, which would have been, I guess, in 2005 now, when he went over to Sirius, it's exactly what I thought he'd be on there. He is warm when he needs to be warm. He is tough when he needs to be tough. He's funny when that's appropriate. The audience loves him. I think he has real good chemistry with Sharon Osbourne and Howie Mandel, and there could have been a little friction there having two funny guys on the panel, if you consider Mandel a funny guy. I'm not really sure about that, but some people do. So now Mandel's all right, but Howard goes on there and he's great. Because it really is what Howard did on his show anyway, if you think about it. He took phone calls, had wacky guests in, he had whack pack guys, and he'd interview them and try to get their story. And then they'd perform, and he'd have farting guys and queefing women and all kinds of weird people on there and promoting this and that. And it was always a lot of fun, and he's brought that over to America's Got Talent. I think he's done a great job. So, and I think the ratings are reflecting that, too. I know they said that it opened... The opening week of America's Got Talent was down, but they opened the show a week earlier than they did. They opened it up against actually the finale of the, the winter schedule or the fall schedule, instead of it really being in the first week of the summer schedule, which is where we're at now, and it's winning its time slot every night, and it's doing good, and they just had the semifinals in Vegas, and Howard's real good on it. He's quite the addition to it, and maybe he'll take from this, he will use this as an audition to do other jobs. I'd love to see him stay on this show, but, maybe Howard could do something else. And I think that'd be a good thing, because he's quite talented. I think Howard's funny, and people are seeing a side of him that you don't get in from his Letterman appearances or from his other talk show appearances or places you see him or interviews. You see clips of Howard, and he's very offensive and brash, and he doesn't warm himself to everyone. But this show, he gets to sit there. He doesn't have to talk all the time. Nick Cannon's kind of doing the heavy lifting hosting wise. He comes out. Howard will introduce the act. Maybe Sharon will introduce talk to the next act, or Howie talk to the act, and he gives his opinion and he says yes or no, and that's it. And that's all he does. But it's great. Very good usage of Howard Stern. They found a good place for him. So I'm glad that's working out for him, and I'm a fan of the show. So keep watching if you're out there, if that's your thing. Because summer TV is tough, man. Summer TV is not what it is in the fall, man. God, I watch so many crappy shows. Not just crappy shows, just a crap load of them. I guess they're good shows, but geez. I mean, last fall it was like Boardwalk Empire, and then Homeland was on Showtime. So I had those two going. And then, what else was there? Just all the comedies, the NBC comedies, The Office, Parks and Rec, How I Met Your Mother on CBS. Geez, then I'd be watching, like, Amazing Race. Girlfriend doesn't watch that, but I would watch Amazing Race. And then spring comes around, and it sort of shifts up. The cable stuff flips around, and Game of Thrones came on HBO, which I got to tell you, this Game of Thrones on HBO made me sleep every fucking episode. And I know people love it, and I was a big proponent, and I probably talked about it on the show. I can't remember, but they just finished their second season, and while I've watched every episode, and I got my girlfriend into it, which was sort of an accomplishment because she seems to fight me on new shows. She seems to think every show I want to watch is just because there's tits on it. And it proves to be true when there are tits on it, like Game of Thrones. But the show was good even without the tits. But the Game of Thrones, but my problem is I'm falling asleep every episode because, you know, they pretty much behead a guy every episode, which is great. But there's just a lot of talking, and it's all done in British accents. And it's very dark. The screen is very dark. Everything's candlelit. It takes place in chambers and, you know, little rooms. And there's all this jargon. There's all the geography and the houses. You know. I will not surrender Winterfell until the House of Lannister is complete with the Dothrakians. And it's just like, oh, yeah, yeah, your head starts to spin, man. You need a fucking encyclopedia of Game of Thrones to figure this shit out. And you don't know who's who, and people are related, and you don't know who's related, and who's dead, and who's alive. Very confusing. And even with that, I stick with it, and I like it, but I do just doze off in the middle of it. And maybe I got a problem. Maybe I got a little narcolepsy, a little touch of the narcolepsy. If you can have a touch of it, I might have one. But, you know, you watch the show, and I take a nap. Usually, I don't feel like I miss much. But, geez, I sleep during the fucking thing. And then they had the big finale, which was this war. And the war was okay, but it kind of looked like they didn't have much of a budget for a war. They had some CGI, which was cool. And, you know, there were dragons. That's a minor spoiler, but the fucking thing ended a month ago. And the dragons were cool. They're baby dragons still, but the dragons... Well, if the dragons come to full fruition and wreak havoc, that's going to be worth watching. So Game of Thrones, again, the Corey and Joel five-finger scale. Let's give it 4 fingers. I'm tempted to give it 3. It's still worth watching. If you have HBO, I think you're getting your money's worth by watching that. You can watch Girls. That just ended on HBO. If you haven't seen Girls and you have an HBO subscription, you can probably get the episode somewhere else, too. I don't know. You can get them on Apple TV or one of these, Amazon. On demand, and you will be able to later if you can't now. But this Girl's, this half hour sitcom from a woman named Lena Dunham, who previously made an indie film called Tiny Furniture, which was very indie, very New York, sort of hipster indie film. And she's now created the series called Girls with the help of Judd Apatow, the great movie producer and director, and he's producing this show. And Judd's, of course, done things like Funny People, Superbad, lots of real funny movies. I don't have to give you the whole 40-Year-Old Virgin, the whole Judd Apatow Freaks and Geeks resume. You know what Judd's about. And he produced Girls, and Girls is real funny, too. So, again, it ended. And, in fact, I like this more than Game of Thrones. It's probably my favorite show of the year, really, based on, although they did 10 episodes, and probably 7 of them were awesome. 2 of them were just okay, and 1 of them sucked. But that's still a pretty goddamn good batting average. That's still an 85, so that's on the, you know, on the 5-finger scale, you're looking at 4.5 fingers. And that's a pretty goddamn good date, if you ask me, right? Four fingers and a knuckle, and that's worth buying some potato skins for, if you know what I'm saying, guys. That's worth the price of a movie. Take it right there. No, Girls is real funny. It's about 4 chicks living in New York City, and I know what you're saying, it sounds like Sex in the City because it's on HBO and it's dirty, and you're right, it is that thing. It is probably like Sex in the City, although I have to say, as a man, as a penis-carrying man as I am, I'm proud to say I really only saw Sex in the City like 1 time all the way through, and that was when it was first on and I thought it might be good, and man, did I hate it. Of course, every chick ended up loving it, and They made a couple annoying movies with it, and I don't know that Girls is going to go that route. But season one was real funny, I have to say. Very realistic portrayal of young women in New York City, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, exaggerated in some ways, but very frank and shocking comedy, but yet believable in some way. On some level, it was, you know, it seemed realistic. And that's good. So go watch Girls. I don't know what else to say about it. Lena Dunham seems to have quite the future. I believe she's about 26 years old, and she's already made a feature film and has an HBO series in the can for a season, and they're going to do season two. And Lena Dunham's naked a lot. Now, of the four girls, she might be the girl you least want to see naked on the show, but she is naked on the show a lot. So, you know, go watch Girls if you have HBO. And if you don't, get it some kind of way. It won't be out on DVD probably for a good long time. They seem to hold on to those till like season two is ready to go. So anyway, I hear Harry talking through the door. I'm trying to get Harry. Yo, Harry. What he's doing. Dude, come on. We got to get the show done.
I don't know what he's doing. Oh, sorry about that. Are you done? You're not done with your call yet.
Two more minutes, yeah.
Jeez, oh man. All right, because maybe I should just wrap up the show. I mean, I'm trying, like I said, I tried to get Corey on. I've already reviewed Ted. I've told you what's on TV. I don't know. How long has this show been anyway? Jeez, oh man. Only about an hour. Well, I mean, I'm trying to be nice. And by the way, this song he wants to promote is one of the worst things you'll ever see. I mean, for me. I don't know if you guys... God, I don't even want to do it without him here. Because it's just so bad. And I know when we had him on here, and I know, like, Martin from Bay City, you called in and you said, ah, fuck this Harry. It's enough of him. And I kind of agree, but I think that was back in March, so it's been a few months. So maybe we can forgive him and go on. Or maybe I should just say goodnight. I don't know. I'm torn. I'm torn on what to do with Harry. Fuck. Jeez. Come back to the show so I can promote your crap. It is rude, though, to take a phone call in the middle of a show. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's fair to me. And I don't think it's fair to you, the listener, either, to be honest, right? Taking a phone call in the middle of my goddamn show. Who is he? The fuck is he up to? Maybe I should call him. I think I have his Google Voice number. Maybe that would be funny. But what if he's on like a business call? If he really is like putting the show together or something. He'd be a real dick. Because that is the thing you don't want to be. You don't want to be a complete dick like that, you know. Just because he comes on and he's obnoxious and stuff. I mean, that's one thing. That doesn't give me carte blanche to be a dick. You know, I'm the host of the show. I got to be good. Got to be a good host. But that means being fair to the listeners, too. And I appreciate everyone that's listened. And God, we had some calls to the douchebag hotline, and I didn't get to those. But we'll get to them next time. Because they have to be sort of cut and prepared for the show. And I don't have them available, so I won't get to those. But I know we did have some calls, and I will get to those. And by all means, call 610-552-0746, and feel free to rip Harry a new asshole. I would love to play that on top of everything else that you're bitching about. I would have no problem playing a Harry sucks phone call. That would be fine, too. So hit me up with 610-552-0746. You can do a Joel sucks phone call. Because I'm certainly living up to that billing tonight without Corey here. But it's hard when, you know, if it's one thing to be by myself and I'd have notes, but I had Harry here, and now he's gone. So, anyhow. All right, let's get into, what else can we get into here? I told you the movies. Of course, Prometheus, go see that. If you listened to last week's show, or if you haven't, feel free to listen to it. Especially if you've seen Prometheus since you've heard the last show, or if you're planning on seeing Prometheus, go ahead and queue up The Last Joel Radio. I'm not even sure which one that was, what number that was. It's Joel. Da-da-da-da. Joel Radio number 86. I can't even Google my own goddamn show. You think I'd have a bookmark to my own show? And I would, but I don't in Chromium. 86, Podbusters. That was the show to listen to. Talk all about Prometheus. If you haven't heard Prometheus or seen Prometheus and you've seen it and you want to make sense, I had some questions. I've read some interviews and some other stuff on the web, I think, since our conversation, which has filled me in. And, you know, a little bit as to sort of Prometheus' relationship with Alien and exactly what happened and where this leads us, leading into the Alien series of films. But if you haven't heard that, Prometheus spoiler cast on show number 86. Podbusters, that was the name. So go listen to that. I think you'll have a good time with that, especially if you saw the movie. And if you haven't, you know, go see it. No, I think Prometheus really... I was doing my top movies. Maybe I can hit you with that. I was doing my top, you know, because I like to do this. You know, every year on Joel Radio here, we do a best movies of the year. And I... because I'm trying to... you know, it's hard to do this at the end of the year because you forget about shit you saw. I put together a best movies of 2012 so far. I guess I'll give you that. But some of this is what we've talked about already. I've talked about Ted. I have that at number 5. Although that really could be higher. This is sort of a rough sketch of what the year's best might end up being. At number 4, I've got a movie that I don't even know if I talked about it much. I probably mentioned it in passing. I don't know that Corey ever saw, but it's called Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. That's with Ewan McGregor and the girl, Emily Blunt, who was also in the 5-year engagement, which is also with me. So, Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, very funny movie, but totally weird. The premise of it is bizarre, and it's not a movie that you won't be able to follow. I think we did review this on, because we were talked about... this is a Lasse Hallström film, and Lasse Hallström is a guy that and a lot of people like his movies, but maybe don't know his name as a director. But it's not a movie that's hard to follow or weird in that way. It's just kind of a weird premise. It's a romance, a sort of romantic comedy set in Yemen, where a sheik wants to build a salmon run so he can fish, and somehow Emily Blunt and Ewan McGregor are roped in from London to go do that. And I know it sounds weird, but Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, probably out on video soon. So go check that out. That's my number 4 at this point in 2012. Number 3, I believe, number 3 hasn't been released, but that was Safety Not Guaranteed. I just mentioned that earlier with Jake Johnson from New Girl, Aubrey Plaza, and a guy named Mark Duplass, who is a director, and we'll actually talk about a movie he directed in a minute. He directs and acts and has done a lot of funny stuff. So he did the movie Cyrus, if you saw that. But Safety Not Guaranteed, Little Indie, it's out now. Go see it. My number 2 movie, again, did a whole show about it last time, Prometheus. Number 2, go check that out. Of course, check the spoiler cast on show 86 Podbusters as well. And my number 1 movie, the top movie of 2012, according to me, at this point, without the year being over and all the good movies being dumped out in the fall, which is what happens, is Jeff, Who Lives at Home, starring Ed Helms and Jason Segel. And it also was directed, as I mentioned, by Mark Duplass and his brother. I forget what his brother's name is, but they are the Duplass brothers, and they put that movie together themselves. Again, indie movie, small, but very funny, had some heart to it. My best movie of the year, Jeff, Who Lives at Home, I think. And that could change, because God damn it if Ted wasn't funny. I mean, Ted was funnier than Jeff, Who Lives at Home, but Jeff, Who Lives at Home was better. I don't know. And Prometheus was great, too, so I can't... that's the top 5 for the first, I guess, 6 months. We're at the end of 6 months here, end of June 2012. And, you know... So it'll be a 10 by the end of the year, and there'll be, of course, extras. I mean, just for other stuff I saw this year, I mean, I thought, and I probably reviewed these all throughout the year, but just to give you a rundown, Avengers I thought was pretty good, because I do have these listed on my little Word document here that you can't see, but I thought Avengers was pretty good. But again, not really contending for Best Picture of the Year. It was a fine comic book adaptation or whatever, however you want to describe it. It felt like a comic book. It felt very light. It was like, you know, it was like dessert. You forgot about it when it was over. So Avengers was okay. Men in Black 3, not much to that. I thought the ending was kind of cute. And, you know, this, you know, this twist where the guy plays Tommy Lee Jones as a young man, I thought that was okay. But other than that, not much to recommend Men in Black 3. I didn't see it in 3D, nor did I see Avengers in 3D. So I can't say. I went to the drive-in and watched those, and I'm sure that hurt my enjoyment of them on some level. But I think I know what those are about, and whatever. Pirates Band of Misfits was okay. I did see that in 3D. That's the Aardman animated movie. That'll probably be out on video soon enough. It kind of came and went to theater. And if you got kids, it's probably more for them than grown-ups, even though grown-ups can appreciate Aardman, and the cast that does the voices is very funny. I mean, they're good actors and funny actors and stuff, but I don't know if you're missing much by skipping that. The 5-year engagement, which had a about a 10-second uncredited feature extra spot by myself, Joel Fregeman. Look for me eating the stale donuts and making Mindy Kaling cry about, I don't know, about halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through. The 5-year engagement with Jason Segel, Emily Blunt, Mindy Kaling, Brian Posehn, Kevin Hart, Reese Ifans, who's in Spider-Man, which if I could get a hold of Corey, we'd get a review of, and all that stuff. 5-year engagement is worth a look. I didn't think it was as funny. You know, people compared it to Bridesmaids because Apatow produced that as well. And, of course, it was directed by Nick Stoller and written by Jason Segel, the same duo who gave you Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek. Yet, this movie maybe didn't rise to that level, but it's still worth a look, and fuck, I'm in it, so why not? Why not see that one, right? Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, I think I've reviewed already. Again, not bad, but I think that's worth a rental. If not, probably not a fully paid admission at the theater. I thought Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp and directed by Tim Burton is certainly worth a look. Definitely rented. Cool movie. Again, 3D, which was decent, I think. Or was it not 3D? I'm trying to remember if Dark Shadows was 3D or not. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was 3D. I actually don't think Dark Shadows was 3D, because I think it was a very dark movie, and I didn't do it in 3D. The reason I feel like it had that gimmicky 3D feeling, it is sort of a gimmicky movie, but Dark Shadows is worth a look. Disney's Chimpanzee, which is about 65 fucking minutes, but the chimpanzees are great. The narration is not great. It's kind of for kids, which is too bad. It's not a serious BBC Planet Earth-style documentary about chimpanzees. They take chimpanzee footage and sort of write a Lion King-type story around it. And maybe the story's true, maybe it's bullshit, it's really hard to tell. But the chimpanzee footage really is fantastic. And if you have kids or you like nature docs, you won't do wrong by renting or seeing Chimpanzee when you get the chance. The Cabin in the Woods is also here as something I saw. Not something I'm putting in any best of list, but it has its moments. It's got a horror movie with a twist or two or three. And I forget the name of the director of this, but I think it's the guy who wrote Cloverfield, which I really liked. And Joss Whedon, director of Avengers, and he's written, and he might have written Cabin in the Woods. I forget exactly the connection. He's somehow affiliated with that. It's a cool movie. I didn't love it. I know there are people that are. I think Harry loved it, but Harry's not here to talk about it. But Cabin in the Woods, if you're a horror movie fan, I'd say yes. Otherwise, again, wait for the HBO screening or Showtime screening or rent it on the cheap one night. Again, Cabin in the Woods, eh. And Act of Valor, which is probably the first movie I saw, was a very stylistically shot I can't even review Act of Valor again. I probably reviewed it then. It's basically Call of Duty the movie, and they used real military men in place of actors. And it shows because they guys can't act. But it looked like $1 million, which I'm sure is what it cost. Multiple millions of those. Multiple of the millions of dollars. But Act of Valor, yeah, it's... I think that is out now on home video. And, yeah. Yeah. A lot of shooting. Them shooting them guns there, boy. Look at that. Look at them. You know, if you believe the military has lost some of its mystique as an unstoppable killing force, go get Act of Valor, where all of that, all of our bullshit mythology around our military will be instilled once again in you. Act of Valor. I also saw Titanic in 3D, the reissue, which, you know, Titanic, I think, is a good movie. It's not a great movie, but they added 3D, and the 3D made it look a little cooler, I thought, you know? Didn't save it completely, but I mean, if you didn't like Titanic, you're not going to like Titanic in 3D. If you saw Titanic and you haven't seen it in a long time and you do want to watch it and you get a chance to see it in 3D, go ahead and watch it in 3D. I have the 3D television from Panasonic. I have a 3D plasma, which is nice to watch, but you have to watch the movies on Blu-ray, and I know it's a pain for people, but if you are getting 3D equipment, Titanic 3D is fun, so go ahead and rent that. But I don't know. I think I got to get Harry back in and say goodnight. There's not really much to do if Corey doesn't call or Harry basically comes in. Yo, Harry! Because he said 2 minutes ago, 2 minutes, like 20 minutes ago. Yo, I got to either sign off the show or something. I can't. Yeah, I know, but you got to wrap it up, dude. Like, what kind of bullshit is this? He comes over and says, you know, I want to do the show, and then he's just taking this call. And 5 minutes I'm fine with, but he hasn't been here in like 20 fucking minutes. Maybe I shouldn't plug his stuff. My feeling, though, is if I don't plug his stuff, he's just going to want to come back and have his shit plugged again. So. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Do we say goodnight? Do we just let you all go? Do we just say, it's enough of this shit? Enjoy your 4th of July holiday. And we'll see you next time. It's a possibility. That's something that might be worth doing. But you know, I also think, I don't know. All right, we'll give Harry a chance to sign off here in a second. So I apologize if it's boring you, because it's boring me. I got it. It's 100 degrees outside. I'm sitting in the AC, and this room air conditioner guy here that I'm using has only gotten it down to about 77. But a very swampy 77. And I've got radio equipment in here. And, you know, it's very warm still. That's how it's heating it up. So, it's not very comfortable. I apologize. I'm a grump for that reason. But I think I got to say goodnight. I think I've had enough of Harry. I don't think I'm going to plug. He has some horrible rap song. Which, you know, it's entertaining, I think, when I rip on it. And I don't want to, you know, spare you guys. I guess I'm going to spare you guys that, even though I would rather just do it because it's a funny bit to rip on his shit that's not good. But I don't think we're going to get that today because Harry's taking a phone call. So, Harry, you've officially ruined this show in addition to all of your other crap. And I'm trying to... As I try to queue up the Joel Radio theme song. And I can't even get to it. Harry, come on, dude. You got like 10 seconds. Let's go. Nah, I don't know. I don't think he's coming. He's taking this phone call. And maybe he's becoming a millionaire in reality television right now. And if he is, he's doing it at the expense of the show. So at the expense of you, my listeners, the Joel Radio listeners. And of course, as always, you can hit us up on the front page of joelradio.net. You can, there's a little button that says contact. You hit that, you fill out your form, you can get your hold of us that way. You can leave comments on the show on the front page right there in the description of the show. So surf your way over to joelradio.net. Yo, Harry! Now, he's talking his ass off. I'm saying goodnight. But then I got to throw him out of my house, too. That's the other fucking deal. I mean, for you, it's easy. I hang up, you turn off your iPod, whatever, and you're done. But Harry's a living, breathing person. I got to get the fuck out of my house. So the guy came in, he did 20 minutes of show, and that's it. So, I guess I'm saying goodnight. I apologize for the fuck-ups, but, you know, tis the way we roll here in internet radio. Hey, I hate this attitude, but, you know, fuck it, it's free. So, I do appreciate everybody listening. We'll have Corey back. He's going to have quite the story, too. Because where he had to go this week and why he's not here is actually a funny story, provided he's willing to speak about it. And I hope he will, because he burned me not only on this show, but in another way. And we'll get into all that. And maybe we'll actually watch Harry shit and critique it then when he's not around. Because you think I hate Harry shit. Corey's knives are even sharper. Corey's critiques are even more brutal than mine would be. So anyway, thanks for listening to JoelRadio.net. Apologies for the fuck-ups and the problems. But go see Ted this weekend. That'll make you laugh. And you can take that on my recommendation. If I did one thing right, I recommended Ted. That's what I can go home with. I will sleep well at night knowing I recommended a funny movie this holiday weekend. So go see that. I'm out. Harry's out of my life. Good night to everybody out there in Radio Land. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio.